This is a CK to Z news update.
Nearly 100 people provided their thoughts and guidance into the new Cortez Island evacuation plan, updated for late 2021. It is accessible on the Strathcona Regional District website as a PDF, divided into 17 chapters with a total of 161 pages. Strathcona Regional District Protective Services Coordinator Sean Koopman released a public notice of the plan's readiness on November 26. Koopman has been in this role for almost 6 years, and when asked whether that experience gives him a good sense of the regular ebbs and flows of adverse weather mitigation, he responded, quote, "Nothing is normal anymore," end quote. He spoke to CK to Z News about the evacuation plan's update, urging people to get informed and prepared well ahead of any potential disaster situation.
What is new in this update?
Literally everything. In all honesty, the last evacuation plan, it had a great map with good evacuation routes and divided into good zones based on population and community culture and access and egress. But when I first picked up the Cortez evacuation plan that was done by a contractor before my time here, it was a very template evacuation plan. It would have worked, but there wasn't a lot of Cortez-specific information in it. So the mass notifications and how the beach rescues would work to where all the wharves are and where all the beach access is to how long the docks are and key contact information to the GPS coordinates for possible staging areas. It was a complete revamp that went through many iterations with community consultations. It is not just a cookie cutter, here's how you evacuate an area. We try to take it to the most logical endpoint that we could so that anybody that we brought in to help, this is everything you need to know about Cortez Island, even though you've never been there.
Wow. It sounds like quite a lot of work and hours have gone into this. So thank you so much for making that happen.
Yeah, I really want to thank, like I said, there was over 100 people between the members of the public from the community consultation session to our emergency support services volunteers to the Cortez Island Harbor Association to the Seattle Yacht Club, you know, BC Ferries and Coast Guard and the Cortez Island Emergency Planning Committee. I've honestly never worked on a plan that had so much consultation and eyes on it and input. And I want to thank everybody, especially the members of the public and the volunteers that weren't getting paid to review it for their time to really help a bureaucrat in Campbell River write what really feels like the best local specific Cortez Island plan I think we could have produced.
And you can tell that because it's a 161-page document, so it's so detailed. I did see a request that we all read through it, but just being realistic, not every islander might make it through the entire front to back. What would you say is the most important thing that everyone should know?
I would say if people are going to read through only a couple sections of the doc, they should definitely go into the template and the managing evacuation order section so they have an idea of the forms and what might be expected if we're doing temporary access and how roadblocks would work and how access and egress would work out of evacuation areas, as well as the recovery part should it be a large devastating wildfire, because the recovery is really where the community will become involved. So that chapter 8 and 9 are very important, as well as chapter 4, which talks about all the different ways that notifications will take place.
And would that also encompass assembly points based on where you live?
Honestly, if I had to start the plan from scratch, I wouldn't have put the assembly points in there because it is a very urban concept and we probably won't use it for a Cortez Island scenario, because by the time we had everything that we needed there to operate a proper assembly point, the locals, you'd already be on your way and have everything taken care of. But we decided that we'll keep the assembly areas in there, but really try and stress with the public education that don't just go there unless you've been told to go there. I would say a better Cortez Island specific scenario than an assembly area is for neighbors to just arrange who would carpool with who first.
He stressed the importance of carpooling so as to avoid major congestion on the roads, and especially at points of exit off the island, such as the ferry terminal. The evacuation plan outlines several scenarios with varying responses based on the emergency at hand. The most likely scenario would be a partial evacuation of the island, with residents of other areas advised to shelter in place. For this reason, Koopman suggests having several different ready-to-grab bags of provisions for different situations. He personally has three separate kits, the first one being for evacuation.
In our shed behind our house, we have the evacuation kit. There's a checklist of things that we would want to take with extra phone charging cords, extra bits of medication, contact lenses, but especially pictures of our home and extra copies of our important documents like insurance on a USB stick, because when we're evacuating a population, we're asking you to go from an unsafe area to a safe area. And so you do not need to have 3 weeks supply of food in your evacuation kit. We're sending you from Cortez to Quadra, or we're sending you from Campbell River to Courtney. We're sending you to an area that still has all those basic amenities. So in the evacuation kit, that's where I tell people to really have those mementos of home to take with you. You know, what if you had to leave home and you didn't know when you were going to go back? What are those mementos that you would want to take with you?
The second is a shelter-in-place kit.
So what if you are staying in an area for a long period of time? Even think about the recent snowstorm on Cortez Island. The roads weren't really plowed, the power was out. It's not as if you couldn't go anywhere, but for most people, they were stuck in place for a couple of days, and that could be the scenario for an earthquake. We can't evacuate people after an earthquake because the damage is so widespread that there isn't a safe area, there isn't an unaffected area that we can immediately send people to. So I call it a shitty camping scenario. You're in a tent, you're in your front yard. That's where you want to have the water purification and 50-year shelf life canned emergency water and all those amenities to shelter in place for 2 to 3 weeks until the regular supplies start to come back in.
The third is for being of assistance in earthquakes.
And that has dust masks and high-vis vests and crowbars and heavy-duty work gloves and radios to really focus on helping people and treating injuries after an earthquake. So the message that I try to take to the people is not all emergencies are the same. Some emergencies we ask you to leave, some emergencies you have to stay. You should really think about what is different for each of those emergencies to you.
In an emergency situation, various channels of alerts would be triggered, from radio to social media to door-to-door notifications by the RCMP and Coast Guard. These all have their limitations, and residents can also preemptively sign up for notifications online at strathconard.connectrocket.com. The newly updated Cortez Island evacuation plan can be found on the Strathcona Regional District website by going to the Services tab, then Emergency Preparedness.
CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.